Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everyone. Kristen up here at the top with just a couple of quick notes for you before we roll into a very special episode where LaToya Ferguson is in pod with us discussing all that we journeyed through in season one of The X-Files and, of course, all that we think might come in season two of The X-Files. And also, very important for those of you invested in the Sexual Tension Awards, I know many of you are, Emily Brackets McLongstreet will be returning to do our season one X-Files final bracket. That is where all of the winners from the season one episodes are pitted against each other to find out once and for all who had the most sexual tension in season one. This Friday, the final showdown for season one will commence. You can find all of that information at bufferingcast.com/STA. Something you should also know is that we announced our Buffy prom for 2024. It is happening at the Bell House in Brooklyn. It is actually spanning three nights for those of you who have VIP tickets. All of the information is at bufferingcast.com/prom. And I'm here to let you know that at least as of this taping, there are only four tickets that remain for the VIP bundle. That means if you want to come to trivia and if you want to pile up and watch a couple of episodes of Buffy on the Sunday after prom, you should act now because probably those will go very soon. Bufferingcast.com/prom. That event is happening on the 19th, 20th, and 21st of April in Brooklyn. Hell yeah. In the main feed, we will be back again tomorrow with our continued coverage of Slayer's A Buffyverse Story. And if you're an X-Files head, we will see you in the new year with season two.
Hello and welcome to the X-Files. My friends, that is the EX-Files, a podcast where we are watching and discussing every episode of the X-Files one by one, spoiler free. I am a liver-eating bat owl, Jenny Owen Youngs. I'm also the ex-wife of Kristen Russo.
Which one's better and which one's worse?
A ranking, liver-eating bat owl, ex-wife of Kristen Russo. It's really tough to say. We're going to have to keep going. And let me introduce to you my trusty co-host, a lofted bed with a tiny desk underneath, Kristen Russo.
I was actually going to introduce myself as the smug bitch of the podcast, but I think actually... actually, perhaps there's someone else here with us who might want that title more than
who
me.
Who might be a slightly more smug bitch.
A little smuggier, yeah. LaToya Ferguson, welcome to the fucking pod.
The panic in my eyes when you started calling yourself the smug bitch, because I'm like, if we have to do a name, I'm smug bitch. Am redacted, which is anything from the episode Roland.
Yeah, honestly, the whole episode, we redacted our whole episode, so yeah.
Oh my god.
It's I will just say, it's because Zeljko Ivanek, who plays Roland, is a phenomenal actor. Love him in everything. Damages, I will always sing the praises of Damages. The Practice, he was a DA in The Practice. But let's not talk about Roland.
No,
this is the most we'll ever talk about Roland, right? That sounds good.
Yeah, that's about it. We're here.
Roland.
Wow, she's got jokes. She came with jokes. We're here today to recap what has been a roller coaster ride on the first season of The X-Files. And LaToya, you've joined us for a layer here and a layer there, but you're here with us for the whole damn episode, baby.
Yeah, Big Daddy is here.
Is Big Daddy the precise opposite of Little Jenny?
It would seem so, wouldn't it?
Wow.
Oh, God.
All right.
Also,
it's your lair. I mean,
Big Daddy's got like a little baby in her lap right now for the listeners.
I feel
there's a Dahlia on the pod.
I feel like I'm just doing a little math here. I feel like all big daddies are smug bitches, but not all smug bitches are big daddies.
That is true.
That's accurate.
Starting strong. LaToya, I want to begin because you've talked to us in pod about very specific things, and you've produced we've read some of your notes and things, but I just want to get your general thoughts on this season of television.
So I will say, thankfully, for the most part, the series was less scary than expected, although the opening theme still does me in. The happiest I've ever been was hearing the theme in major chords. I'm like, that's what it should be all the time. Let's do that instead, even for this podcast. Let's change it to that.
Yes.
Because that makes me feel at ease, as opposed to every time I watch an episode.
Oh my god.
Yeah. But I said this, especially in the EBE episode, my notes there, that was kind of what I'd hoped the show was more like. So like EBE and the Erlenmeyer flask, I'm like, okay, hopefully we get more of this in the future. I don't know if I ever told you guys this story, but I'll tell it on the pod now. So I was at a TCA press store, the Television Critics Association, of which I am a part of. Probably for this is probably my last year because I do not know if I will have enough critic credits next year to stay in, honestly. So someone please hire me as a writer on TV so I can make the transition fully.
Hire LaToya.
I was there 1 year of the tour when they were doing the return season of The X-Files. It's not a reboot. It's like a continuation season, basically. And they showed us, because all they had really was a clip to show us the footage. And so this is all I've really seen of The X-Files besides Space, an episode I had blacked out during because I was so scared to watch The X-Files. And seeing the scene, I thought it was a bit because it was possibly the worst thing I've ever seen these two actors do. And so I'm like, I know the show gets less great, but right now, even at its worst, it's still better than that one clip I saw. And I'm like, knowing more about the show and things I've been saying that in my notes that have not made it to the pod, I'm like, I bet Chris Carter wrote that scene and that episode.
Do you, LaToya, was there a moment since you brought up the scariness factor, which was, you know, your biggest reason for possibly not working with us on the show is that it might be too scary. And I know that you weren't as scared as you thought you would be. That's great because it means you'll, I hope, join us for season two. But is there a moment that sticks out in season one as like the moment you were most scared?
I mean, a creepy child, especially a creepy smug bitch, is always something in general. But I would have to say possibly just ice because of the tension, and it made it like it was a good horror movie in episodic television form, pretty much. And that's more a suspense thing, but like,
and had a little like body horror to it too. I feel like the body horror is generally what gets me the most. Body horror and like possession are and things that really creep me out.
And we already like hyped up, you know, the directing in that episode, the cast, because like that it all kind of just works together perfectly.
Yeah, I think I'm just thinking about what you said about EBE and the Erlenmeyer flask. And I spoke in the Erlenmeyer flask about how I really had expected more aliens. And I think I sort of expected the balance of like aliens where it's like Little Green Men alien vibes. And then the other episodes being more along the lines of ice, which is like, you know, they're worms from, you know, millions of years ago, whatever. And they are extraterrestrial in that sense, but maybe not like Little Green Men vibes.
Yeah. As opposed to Little Green Bugs.
Yeah. Well, the Little Green Bugs really got me too. I don't like anything small that can get inside of my body. You know what I mean? Like, no, thank you.
So did Animorph scare you? Were you afraid of that? Were you afraid of the Yurks?
Jenny, did you have a most scared moment?
Look at not as afraid of anything Jones over here.
Well, no, I mean, moments when I was most afraid. Publishing our pilot episode of The X-Files.
Jennifer Owen Young.
Brother.
Asking LaToya if she wanted to come set up a producer's lair on set at The X-Files headquarters. You know, I've seen all these episodes a bunch of times, so they have lost their jump scare potency. Mm-hmm. If they have, but you know, Tombs is still like, and Ice is still, you know, there's something. What's worse, a guy? Would you fuck, marry, kill a worm trying to get in your ear and control your body? A man who makes a bile nest every 33 years in which he hibernates before he awakens to eat five livers. And a stinky alien baby.
Kill Tombs, kill Tombs, kill Tombs.
LaToya, I don't know if you've heard the episode yet, but in our... No, you haven't, because I think John Mark just put the link in the edit thing. In that episode, Jenny asks me to play fuck, marry, kill with Anya inside of Jasper's body, Jasper inside of Anya's body, or Frank, her own dog, inside of another version of my body. So
what is
it's really getting
with you?
Fucking unhinged. And I like tried to play for a minute and was like, no, wait, what? No.
Absurd.
Anyway.
No one's playing this game.
No, we're not playing.
Fair.
Jenny, I have a question for you, because you are the only one of the three of us that saw the series before, but this is the first time you've watched it critically, I suppose we could call it. Closely, at the very least. So would you say that you feel differently about the show having watched it like this?
I would say that it really highlighted for me how the first season of shows are. You know, like I feel like this season of television has a lot in common with the first season of Buffy in terms of like finding its footing and stuff, but also doing something that like wasn't, you know, really happening so much on television. So it's like new and exciting, but it's also like, well, the computer that runs the building is turning on everyone, or Mulder's sister was abducted and he like sees apparitions of her child form hither and thither, and like it's just like all over the map. And then we have the through line of the myth arc episodes, and I actually, for me, I'm enjoying the myth arc more than I did previously. I've always really liked the Monster of the Week episodes. Not all of them, of course.
You love every single one of them.
You know, I gravitate more towards, you know, Ice and Darkness Falls and Tombs and Squeeze, episodes like that, historically. But I'm more interested now in like what's going to be revealed moving forward in terms of possible dark government forces at work, alien DNA being injected into unwitting children, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the alien DNA injected into children, and I feel like I tried to do the math to figure out if I could be one of those children.
Oh my god.
But I think that I think Jenny and I are at risk for sure.
Yeah, could be us. We're ancient enough. The thing that like is really, I think before we started doing this watch, I kind of like lumped a lot of like the early seasons of X-Files together in one vat in my mind. And what's cool, even though we just had a blast watching season one, what's really cool is that like the bangers are largely yet to come. There's some really exciting stuff, some really great stuff that I'm excited to watch coming down the pike here. Do things come down a pike or a pipe?
It's the pike. I mean,
but technically, okay, things do also come down.
It could be pipes. The pipeline.
Ah, coming down the pipeline. Okay. Yeah.
Glad we're clearing this up. Just another X-Files solved.
Season two has 25 episodes, which I was just thinking about it and like, you know, LaToya, we learn a lot from you in the space as a person who works in television. I have learned a lot in terms of like, oh, I didn't like this. And these are the words to explain why I did not like this thing. And something I think that I pulled from your analysis, maybe not of this particular thing, this particular season, but that like it seems like there were too many episodes in season one that like perhaps if there were less episodes they would have had an easier time making those episodes closer to being all bangers than what we got. So I just want to know from you, A, like, do you agree with that, and B, do you have fears about the amount of episodes in season two?
So I would love to say, you know, with less episodes it'd be more streamlined, but that's what the world we live in now, with less episodes, and somehow they're less streamlined, and shows entire seasons end up being like the entire season is a pilot now. That's like one of the worst things with shorter seasons now. It's like we get to the season finale and that's setting up what the show really is. So having just covered the first season of the OC for Episodic Medium, and maybe depending on when this airs, you guys might hear it first, I will be doing the rest of the series. And first season is 27 episodes, and even though like the last few episodes of the first season aren't as great as like the original episodes, it is still pretty much bangers. Season two is 24. The worst season three is 25. So and then I believe season four is 16, despite being the second best season. I will just let you guys know. I do like longer seasons of television allow you to like be more invested in these characters, honestly. Like you, even if not everything is a banger or the best episode, like you still care. And that's something that is can be greatly lacking now with shorter episodes. So despite, you know, repeating so many different concepts throughout the season. I mean, that's not necessarily the case for every season that's been this long on a show. Like Melrose Place was like, I think those episodes were like, we're talking like 30 episodes almost, or at least closer to 30 episodes than not those seasons. So, but like, you're not technically repeating the same beats or repeating the same concepts. I think that's, again, more a Chris Carter showrunner problem than just a general problem with the season length.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I know that so I have the episode two list up, and I didn't really plan on this, but I wonder if we might make some guesses about what some of these episodes are about, LaToya and I.
Yeah, you all want to stare into the crystal ball.
Well, before we get there, I want to talk just a little bit more about season one, because we talked about like the bigger arcs. LaToya, I just want to know, like, do you have I have two questions. One is Scully Mulder feelings. Put that in your pocket. And then my second question is the episode you feel did the best job of the series at getting its work done.
Okay.
Oh, you want my answers now?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Scully Mulder right feelings. So I listened to your crystal ball, and I know you're your guesses. But from what I've, I think I've gleaned from the show via osmosis, cultural osmosis, I feel like we're going to be waiting a long ass time for Scully and Mulder to do anything. I think everyone got so afraid after Moonlighting. They're like, let's delay it even more. I mean, even in the 2000s, that's what they did with Bones. And then what was it, the 100th episode, where it's like, this time they're really getting together. No, it's not a dream. Yes, it was a dream. They just flat out lied and said it wasn't a dream. Like, no, it was very much a dream. It's like an AU episode where they're together.
That's fucked up.
That is rude.
Yeah, that is not okay.
They just straight up lied in promotion, which is not even like we're lying in the trailers, because, you know, those, like, in interviews, the showrunner just flat out lied.
Wow.
But yeah, I think we're going to be waiting for a while for anything to really pop off with these two. And, you know, my problem is, as I've said before, I've seen every episode of Californication. didn't care for it, but that is a lot of my David Duchovny feelings in general. And as for Gillian Anderson, I saw her be very hot with Hannibal on the show Hannibal. So I'm like, can you ever reach that level? And also, will I not see Californication when I see this man, David Duchovny?
Yeah, okay, fair.
that is my issue. But also, like, if they kiss, I'd be like, I'd be cool with it.
Yeah. You would not be mad if they kissed.
I'm not anti Mulder and Scully.
Great.
But, like, also, what if Scully fucks Skinner?
Honestly, the only person upset would be Sarah Benincasa.
Yeah. Just because she wanted to get there first.
Yeah.
Okay, other question. What was the second question? Sorry.
I guess the second question was, what episode in season one do you feel did the best job of doing what it said, like, not doing what it set out to do, but, like, what episode do you feel gave you the X-Files the way you want to have the X-Files?
I think, yeah, I said it in the notes and earlier, it was EBE. I think that was the one where it's like, yeah, this is because they are fed, so it should have a more fed tilt to it, I think, in general, which isn't often the case, I feel. Ice was great, and it would have been great at any point in the season, basically, just because of the way it was, and again, the cast. But yeah, I think EBE is the best distillation of what the show is or should be, or at least what I like most about it so far.
Yeah. Jenny, do you have a favorite?
A favorite app?
Yeah.
In season one?
Yeah.
Listen, there are so many great apps.
I'll give you some ruminating time and say that I've been thinking about this question of mine for myself, and I'm like very torn between the first and last episode. Like because I know, like, it's been a long time since I saw the pilot, but I know that when I saw the pilot, I was like, yes, this is what I'm fucking here for. And obviously, the Earl and Meyer flask played a lot off of the pilot. So if you look at them as, like, a set, then they are my favorite. But I don't know which one I like better, but they are where I want to live in the show.
I did make in my small amount of notes for this, I made a best episodes of the season list. And now I think I'll add the pilot to it. But so pilot, Ice, Eve, a.k.a. Smug Bitch O'Clock, EBE, Darkness Falls, Tombs, which I am loath to give Doug Hutchison any credit ever, but I do think it is the better version of the Tombs episodes. Plus, it has a Skinner intro and the Erlen Meyer flask.
Yeah, that's a solid list.
All right, since LaToya has covered every other episode that I feel strongly about in season one, I'm going to go with what I was thinking I would go with anyway, maybe, which is Beyond the Sea.
Yeah, that's, I thought you were going to skip
that is
that
also,
one.
Yeah. That's the one I skipped
it's
over.
It's a real crack of the bat episode.
You just look like you're having big thoughts over there, Jenny. So
me, I was just thinking, I just watched Batman 1989.
Heard of it?
The other evening for the first time in a long time. And I was doing a little background reading and was interested to discover that Brad Dourif was in the roundup of people considered for the Joker.
Makes sense.
For that movie.
Oh. What did I just watch? I just watched Child's Play. I was like, I just saw Brad Dourif somewhere, and it was because I just watched Child's Play.
So you heard him?
Yeah. Well, you see him in the beginning.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Is Chucky a doll that is made out of a man?
Yeah, it's a possession thing, yeah.
Yeah, the Brad Dourif is killed, and he says this like incantation, and
do you know nothing about the Child's Play Chucky series?
I don't know anything about Child's Play.
Because you didn't realize, because I know at the time you didn't realize that he was Chucky.
Yeah, had to be told.
So Chucky actually is just a doll possessed by Brad Dourif, at least in the first installment. I actually don't know if he remains Brad Dourif for the rest of the series. But there's like other Chuckies, so I don't really know what happens there, but I'll find out.
He does. I would love to watch all of the Child's Play, because mm-hmm. I hear the sci-fi show's fucking amazing, and that is definitely Brad. So one more Brad Dourif fun fact. So the show Psych, which I love deeply, does have a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest riff, and Brad Dourif does guest star in that episode. He was in the movie originally, so.
Yes, that's actually the only way that I knew Brad Dourif before watching The X-Files.
He's in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, is he?
He's Wormtongue. He's that gross-ass bitch.
Listen, I had to watch the extended versions of that trilogy during the pandemic.
Good.
And it was a big blur to me, so.
That's the only way to watch him, though.
I don't know. It was Correct. A lot. It was a lot for me. Maybe I'd enjoy it more now, but I really dragged my feet. Joanna Robinson just, like, carried me through trilogy. Okay. Kristen, anyway, listen, I'll get there in my own time and my own way, okay? Is it time to look to the future and think big thoughts about what might
gaze
come? Yeah.
Into the ball?
Yeah.
What if for this episode the Kristen's crystal ball theme music was just and
is that from Lord of the Rings?
Yes. What in the shit?
Well, you're gonna need to make a new theme song, because it's gonna be Kristen and Latoya's crystal ball, actually. You know,
we're both
making predictions.
Two girls,
making predictions,
one ball.
Too, apparently.
Yeah, but we also have to talk about the predictions that came from the crystal ball.
Let's rate and review how we've done so far. Kristen, you may recall consulting with your crystal ball over the last 24 episodes of The X-Files that we've watched, and I've taken a magnifying glass and a microscope and some of that, like a black light.
Wow, all of it at the same time?
Some other stuff. To your existing predictions, and some of them I find wanting, and some of them,
she said they
let
suck.
Let me check in with
That's
you.
That's what I heard.
Okay, well, let's see. In season one, episode two, Deep Throat, you put forth that Deep Throat and Smoking Man are in cahoots, and I'm wondering if you're still if you and the Crystal Ball are still feeling that way.
Well, I still feel like the Smoking Man is an alien. So in that sense, yes. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the Smoking Man is working in some way, at least on behalf of the aliens, if not is an alien himself. So if that's true, then yeah, I still stand by my theory. Because Deep Throat was, you know, I mean, he was like deep into it. Remember he said he shot an alien. He had to kill an alien. And probably he felt really bad because his friend Deep Throat was probably his like brother or something, you know, like I don't know.
Okay.
No, but I do think
it's a pretty small community.
I at least think it will be revealed. I will be very serious and take all of my joking aside. Technically, I'm not really joking about thinking that Smoking Man was an alien, but I do think that the Smoking Man and Deep Throat have crossed paths. And I do think that that will be a part of a story that we learn.
Do you know what this reminds me of, this theory that Smoking Man is an alien? It reminds me of in Supergirl, where they're like, oh, yeah. Well, obviously, it was never publicly said, but like you could tell from it, where it's like, so Dean Cain plays the father to Supergirl and her sister. But that was, of course, before we knew Dean Cain was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So basically, they find a way to be like, okay, so we killed him off screen. And actually, all that good stuff we saw with him, that was Martian Manhunter pretending to be him.
Oh.
Martian Manhunter, of course, an alien. See? Wow. It's like he assumed his identity.
Got it.
But yeah, and then Dean Cain just never was around ever again, and it was great.
Well, that was good. Yeah. I had the biggest crush on Dean Cain in eighth grade, and now I have to go back. And
he was my Superman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They never officially said it, but like anyone with like paying attention, like you knew why Dean Cain was no longer part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my final answer is they were at least in cahoots. Whether or not Smoking Man is an alien will remain to be seen, but I at least won't be surprised if he is.
So in that same episode, you said that Mulder has a bunk bed or lofted bed with a tiny desk underneath. However, in the most recent episode, you said Mulder's bed is his couch. How do you account for this discrepancy?
Is Kristen on trial? What is happening?
Yeah.
Thank you, LaToya.
Are you now or have you ever been wrong about your crystal ball?
I'm like, I turn into Greg from Succession. I'm like, and so say it. So say it be said. Okay, first of all, I have to say that when you called me the lofted bed with the tiny desk underneath it, I was like, Jenny just spoiled what Mulder's bed is and she doesn't realize it. And like, I'm going to have to pause the episode to tell her that she accidentally said what fucking Mulder's bed was because I forgot that I ever even theorized that that's what his bed was. Mm-hmm. Okay, the real talk here is that I know that his couch isn't his bed because you declare that it isn't, but that's She's not lying. On me. That's on you. Oh, yeah, do you think she's lying, LaToya? Do you think she's just fucking
I think
trolling
she's
us?
Lying. Objection. Counsel is lying.
Wow, overruled. I love this. I actually prefer my crystal ball when LaToya I prefer my crystal ball when it's inside of LaToya's lair.
Okay. Been watching too many David E. Kelly shows right now. I'm gonna be objecting all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. In episode 4, Conduit. You put forth that Scully might tell the FBI that Mulder is compromised because of his personal situation at some point this season. And that never happened. But I think that it's I think we should rejoice that that never happened.
Yeah. I mean, I think the choice for that not to happen was a very big one. I think she considered it and she made the very big choice because it was a big deal for her to make the choice to not tell. You know, she's. Scully is the rule follower. Scully is the Jenny Owen Youngs in a lot of ways. In that sense, she is. She follows the fucking rules. You know who doesn't follow the rules? Mulder or Kristen Russo? LaToya, where do you fall on this scale?
I guess I'm in the middle. Who's in the middle?
Nice. In the middle of Mulder and Scully, you say. Perfect place to be.
Not too much room in there.
I feel like if I'm in the middle, I'm someone with a terrible British accent.
Ooh, yeah.
Fair, she really is British. The rest were the terrible British accents around from every Vancouver actor.
Right. Speaking of a woman with a British accent and a three-pipe problem, I was delighted to discover that in episode 7, Ghost in the Machine, Kristen, you were like, I don't think we're going to see any more past work partners after this episode, but I do think we'll see previous romantic partners. And we did, just a few episodes later in Fire.
Fuck yeah. I'm a genius.
You're a genius. I mean, is it you or is it the crystal ball? Okay.
Well, we're
you
kind
also,
of
in that same ep, you predicted the episode Ice would be about something that's discovered in Antarctica or in another really cold place that is frozen, like the amber in Jurassic Park, but make it ice. That's pretty much a bullseye.
Honestly, fucking nailed it. You know what? Hire LaToya Ferguson first, but then hire Kristen Russo second.
I love that you call yourself a genius, whereas I'm like, is this a scathing indictment of Chris Carter? Because to me, everything's a scathing indictment of Chris Carter.
Yeah, I guess if Kristen Russo can think of the same concepts that Chris Carter can, that is more a burn on Chris Carter than a elevation for Kristen Russo.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Okay. I also want to just bring up your assertion from episode 10, Fallen Angel. Does Deep Throat ever talk to Scully? Hard no.
I was close.
That's a no for Kristen.
I was close. I mean, did we not all gasp when he walked in and talked to Scully?
I don't know. Did it make it onto the podcast where I did the bit where I'm like, is Deep Throat even real or just part of Mulder's like subconscious?
Yeah, so I think we talked about it.
Yeah, so that's possibly why that was in your mind. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't even exist. Of course he's not talking to Scully.
I really thought they were going to keep the separation of church and state strong.
So that's what happens if the X-Files existed now. Like, yeah, it'd be revealed he doesn't exist.
Yeah. Or right, at least right, they would right, not right, right. ever have him talk to Scully so that you could wonder if he existed.
And the last highlight that I pulled from this entire season of Kristen's Crystal Ball.
My crystal ball has an idea of what your final note might be.
What do you think it is?
I think it is. It has to do with the pilot episode and asking if we would ever return to wherever the first episode was set.
I meant to ask about that.
Oh, so my crystal ball is actually not only sees smarter all, but me, it's yeah, yeah it's helpful.
It's hired. It's the new host of the X-Files. So do you think we'll ever see the class of 1989 again from Bellflower, Oregon?
I don't, and I'm really bummed about it.
Life is long, and so is this fucking TV show.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true. It's very... I think when we went to Bellflower and I was in the... that was the pilot, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't really understand the way that... I know we talked about it. I know we talked about how there would be like, you know, Monsters of the Week or Case Files of the Week or whatever, and there would also be myth arcs. But I think that I really thought that what began in the pilot was going to be more of a thread, even if we didn't like return exactly there, that like that was going to be like step one to step two, to step three, to step four, and it was going to build. And this season, at least this season, did not really do that. I mean, the only continuity between episodes outside of the government doesn't want Mulder to be looking where Mulder is looking was like Squeeze and Tombs in like the continuation. But there wasn't a lot of like, we found out this is real, and so now we're using that to find out if this is real vibes. Does that make sense?
I think the thing that happened, the thread from the pilot that like really kicked this all off and that continued forward and will be with us hopefully forever, is the partnership of Special Agents Fox Mulder and Dana Scully.
Yeah.
And but their beautiful love.
But I'm ready for the aliens, you know?
Ready for the aliens. Well, the last seed that I want to plant in
Jenny,
your mind.
Sorry to interrupt, but I will say, I actually disagree with Kristen. I think we could see a follow-up to the pilot. It feels very much, especially with this show, like though it would be a follow-up when the show is quite long in the tooth and we are running out of ideas. It's like, hey, remember that thread? Let's do that.
Long in the tooth or just long in the season. Ooh, what can we go back to?
Yeah, basically one of those. I don't think it would be something that was planned to go back to, but like eventually it's like, this is an idea.
They do say always trust your first instinct, you know, and I really did one of those things where I like colored it in A and then like second guessed myself just now and erased it and colored in B. But that's where I am.
OK, the last thing from your really impressive catalog of predictions, which everyone can enjoy at bufferingcast.com/crystal ball. Is this? Coming from our conversation in episode 22, Born Again, who is Queequeg? Your answer was, Queequeg is a small robot who is part of a space program and makes little jokes with Mulder and Scully, like R2-D2, but on Earth and as part of NASA. Now, there's nothing to guffaw at yet. I just want to keep this particular prediction just sort of like in our atmosphere for the amazing moment one day in our future when the question, who is Queequeg, is answered, and we can compare the show's answer to the crystal ball's answer.
I just want everyone to know that my imagination is so strong that I already love Queequeg so much.
My dream of Queequeg. Shark moment in Kristen's mind. She's like, I love it.
Yeah, seriously. It's a risky life I lead, but you know. Great.
Okay, well, this has been a lovely jaunt down memory lane. Should we look to the future?
Yeah, let's look to the future. I actually, since you just said that link, bufferingcast.com/crystal ball, I went over there just to take a peek. And I have a question for LaToya. Jenny asked me in Tombs what I thought was going to happen with Skinner moving forward. And I answered that he'd start as a bad guy on the show, but that over time he'd soften. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what your feelings are about that, or if you have another prediction for Skinner moving forward.
So again, because osmosis obviously hits me with pop culture stuff in a way it doesn't hit you, Kristen. So I'm always amazed by how you can not know something about anything. You and Jill, it always, because Jill is finally watching the OC for the first time, and some of her reactions, some good stuff. But from what I think I vaguely know, such believe, I think Skinner's function, other than just Mitch Pileggi rules and a great genre character actor, is that, especially the way this ends, and because, you know, one of my big issues was Scully as the skeptic contrarian, to the point where it's like, well, come on now. I think his role is more to be... So Scully will now kind of be more in the middle, like that middle territory that I was talking about, with Skinner being like the full-on skeptic, which makes sense too, as like, you know, the suit, the man behind the desk as well, because he's not going to be out. He might be, you know, but he's not out in the field the way Mulder and Scully are, pretty much.
So
I think just like as a necessary character for the show, and like in this realm of the story, he's kind of that. He's like, he's the new level of skeptic in a way that also like just helps Scully as a character. Cause you know, that that's an issue they were having in general, making Scully not too skeptical, or quote unquote, the nag and everything. Even if she is more practical than Mulder, because how can you not be more practical than Mulder? Like, hey, you think this little girl's possessed? What?
I did like that. I mean, I don't think we talked about it in like a general way, but the fact that like we literally see Scully see an alien
yeah.
in the last episode.
Little alien baby. So cute.
A little alien baby. Like that, I think, is powerful for what's going to happen in the future. And they also like, because of the like overdoing of the skeptic in the beginning, like three quarters of the season, I feel like she saw the alien. Jenny's smug bitch face right now.
Super smug.
Fucking so smug. Like, keep a poker face for 3 seconds, Jennifer. But it's just, okay, so here's what I was going to say, and I will try to power through the smug bitch face on Jenny, is that I feel like because she's seen, and we've seen her see, and also they started to set up this, like, more nuanced vibe of, instead of, like, Scully doesn't believe and Mulder does, it's sort of like Scully sees how Mulder's belief is actually blinding him to some of the truth. Like, that to me is more fun, and there's more nuance mm-hmm. there, and it's less of, like, Scully doesn't believe anything. It's just that even if Scully understands that there is, you know, something more out there, that she's still going to be trying to keep Mulder reined in because he gets a little wild with his alien and possession and ghosty theories. Jenny, do you have anything that you need to say? Are you okay?
While you were talking, I just like was overcome with the memory of and the vision of the fuck, marry, kill contestant that I came up with, which was your body with Frank's voice inside of it. I'm so sorry. It just really got me.
Yeah, it's really gonna haunt us for the rest of our lives collectively.
I am haunted.
Yeah, I am more sure. I think I am more haunted, as a matter of fact.
I'm simply so sorry.
Wait, not to be super scattered, but I also realized that I needed to know if LaToya has absorbed through cultural osmosis who Queequeg is, and if not, if you have any thoughts about who Queequeg
is. I have
is.
Been actually spoiled on what that is. I know the deal. So,
God, I would have really loved to know what your unspoiled guess on Queequeg would have been. Okay, looking forward. How should we look forward? How do we do this part?
Well, first you squint, and you gaze directly into the amethyst glow of the sun. And then you say, ow, that hurts. And then you hold up the closest thing to you in between your eyes and the sun, which is a amethyst crystal ball that will diffuse the sun's harmful yet warming rays.
Perfect.
And prevent them from blinding you. Okay, I'm going to read titles of episodes from season 2, and I'm going to ask one of you to tell me what the episode is about based only on the title. Is your hand resting softly yet firmly on the crystal ball?
Yes, but you're going to ask,
And LaToya? Nice.
I have one hand on the crystal ball and one hand on LaToya, and then LaToya has one hand on the crystal ball and one hand on me, and then we're... Yeah,
this doesn't sound like any of my business.
okay.
Okay. Beautiful friends. Okay, let's see. Kristen, what is The Host about? Tell me about The Host.
I don't like the episode at all, actually. it's... I can tell you that right now, because I think I established at the beginning I don't like when... I don't like body horror and I don't like possession. And to me, an episode that is titled The Host can only be one or both of those two things. So I'm going to say that The Host is akin to Ice in the worm to ear vibe, but that it will be instead of a worm. the spirit of someone recently murdered. Who is transferred into a bird, and that bird possesses a person, and the person is the host.
The spirit goes into a bird, and then the bird possesses a person.
Yep.
Okay. I think you just recited Jenny's prayer from Forrest Gump. Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away.
Well, so what I want wanted it to be more was a bug, but then I was like, they did a worm already. And so then I wound up at bird, but a bird can't really get inside of a person very easily. So I kind of blew my own.
What about the show so far has said they won't do it again?
Yeah. I know. But I don't want to like borrow from their pre-existing catalog.
Oh, why should but that prevent you?
Fuck the bird. The bird is just LOL. Why do I think the things that I think? But I do think that it will be like a spirit or entity in some form inhabiting the body of the host and making the host do wretched things while we see his skin moving around. That's what I'm most... When I hear the host, I just think of like something under the skin and I hate it, which is why I don't like the episode The Host.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. LaToya. Okay.
Oh my God. What if it's a episode about Scully hosting a dinner party, though? You know?
Could be.
Okay. LaToya.
LaToya, what is irresistible about?
Ooh. Are we doing pheromones again? That's what it sounds like to me.
It does.
Something, if not pheromones, something's happening with the power of persuasion comes to mind. Is it sexy persuasion? We'll find out. Is it offensive? Probably.
Irresistible. All right. Maybe that's the episode where my prediction that Scully and Mulder would accidentally wind up in a compromising position even though they hadn't actually kissed. Maybe that's the episode where that happens.
Okay, some sort of, we have to escape down the laundry chute and then we land in a heap face to crotch. Okay, Kristen, what's the episode Dwayne Barry about?
I saw that title and all I could think about was Dwayne Reed, the pharmacy in New York City, which my mother for a very long time in her childhood thought was a store called Do You Want to Read? Dwayne Barry. Okay. Oh, Dwayne Barry is an episode about an ex of Scully whose name is Dwayne Barry. And Mulder is jealous at first. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mulder is actually jealous the whole time. He doesn't stop being jealous. But the issue is that when Mulder starts investigating Dwayne Barry, he actually learns that he's done some really bad things and he has to tell Scully, and Scully has to come to terms with the fact that she has to arrest Dwayne Barry. Mm-hmm. And an alien comes. Right.
Imagine being stuck in the middle of a love triangle with a man named Fox and a man named Dwayne.
Dwayne Barry.
LaToya, can I ask you what Red Museum is about, or do you already have too much information?
I already have too much information, yeah.
Fearful Symmetry, if you please.
Ooh, Fearful Symmetry will involve models, like runway models. And this will also involve aliens. I don't know. I haven't yet sorted how it, but like there will be something about like the symmetry of a human face as appealing, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, like that is allegedly what attracts one human to another human, is like the symmetry of a face. That's why models are, you know, chosen based on the way that they're chosen, et cetera. And it will play on that. And it will be like either the models are like AI vibes or the models are like alien vibes.
Strangely, it's, I think that would be a good guess. Maybe later in television, despite this being the era of the supermodel, like procedurals weren't really doing the model episode of the week, I think.
Fair. Maybe they break it for us. Maybe
a very strange thing to have context for, but like that's what I'm good for.
Listen, LaToya, that is literally why you have an entire lair, you know?
Okay. I'm gonna maybe just ask one more.
Okay.
LaToya, what can you tell me about F. Emasculata?
Ooh, I didn't even see that title when I scanned.
Could you say the title in the form of a sentence?
F. Emasculata is the 22nd episode of the second season of the American science fiction television series The X-Files.
Burn. Okay, so she got you good. Yeah, LaToya.
Fucking bitch. I'm guessing it's like F period and then Emasculata.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I'm assuming that is a case file name, like the name of a person in one of our X files. So this could be anything. This could be, let's see. Ooh. I think what it's going to be about is about this cute, adorable robot that they find Mulder and Scully.
Yes! Queequeg.
Yes, this is the Queequeg episode. This is the intro of Queequeg. The backdoor pilot to Queequeg.
Oh, God. I can't believe I have to wait this long to get to this episode to meet Queequeg.
Yep, that's it. That's absolutely what it is.
Incredible. What about Little Green Men?
Yeah, yeah. What do you think Little Green Men is about, LaToya?
Queequeg.
I am curious. LaToya, did you watch ahead? Did you?
Not yet. I get to do the fun of rewatching the OC season 2 and watching X-Files season 2 at the same time.
Because I am really curious how you think they'll land in the first episode of season 2 after the finale, like where you think they're going to set up Scully and Mulder.
Have you already watched it?
No.
Okay. So if you had watched it, I would know there's no Queequeg yet, that's for sure. Yeah. So obviously, because what happens is the X-Files is shut down, but they're not fired from being FBI agents. They got to do some shit. So either something like a normal FBI case wherever they have been reassigned turns out to be not so normal. Or, of course, Fox Mulder is doing shit he's not supposed to do. He drags Scully into it.
Hell yeah.
That's most likely what's happening here. And then we have to open up the X-Files again. We just got it. We just got it, Mr. Skinner.
I really hope that we have like a Mulder at his house and it's just every single X-File that he's like pulled from the FBI offices now in his house, that we get a lot of like around Mulder's kitchen table vibes.
He took multiple trips hiding the files under his shirt to sneak them out.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Jenny.
Yo.
Do you have any thoughts that you'd like to share as we wrap up the first season of The X-Files?
I'm having fun. I'm having fun. And I'm excited to watch season 2. In preparation for starting to record season 1, I watched all of season 1 binge dial and was like, woo! And then hit a wall when it was time to, you know, when I got to the end of the season.
Yeah, so you're excited to
wait to fucking watch the next season of the show.
Yeah, I'm curious if we'll play it all with format inside of the podcast, because it's fun for many reasons to go
this
one.
The first time hearing about it, so.
Well, I just like it's fun to go one at a time, but we generally, you know, there's like a week to 2 weeks between when we tape. It takes a little while. And I'm just wondering if maybe in one of these seasons, I get to also do a binge watch of the season. And I can write down my prediction. I won't do it in 2, but I'm just planting the seed. I can write down my predictions like before. But at least, because I do think that there's something different about being able to like watch a chunk of episodes at a time versus, I guess like, they were watched once a week. But, you know.
This is how we used to do it in the olden days.
That's true. LaToya, what are your closing thoughts on being a part of The X-Files season 1?
Well, I enjoyed the season 1 of the television show to varying degrees and levels. And, you know, we'll see if I finally hit that moment where like, okay, I'm glad I'm now watching this series in general. I don't know if I've quite hit that point, especially with there's so many seasons. There's movies, too. Come on now. But I love working with you guys, and I love listening to you guys talk about this show. That's always fun. Yeah. So I'm, of course, excited for more of the EX-Files, always.
Hell yeah. I'm hoping that for you and I, LaToya, we hit our stride in season 2 of the television show, because I'm, like, very ready to feel the feelings that I felt when I watched the pilot and the feelings that I then got reminded of a couple times during the season, but you know, I could not. I watched the first episode so far before we started the podcast, and I had to wait so long. And I was like, you know, I just couldn't wait to hit play. And I really believe that will take us both at some point. And I hope it's this season. I'm very excited for more.
Yes.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm just scanning the episode list for season 3.
We're not there
I'm
yet.
So excited.
So you're already saying season 2 sucks. Season 3 is where it's at.
No. I just looked at season 2 for a while and now I'm looking at season 3 and I'm really excited.
I mean, if we use Buffy as a template, then like season 1 rough stuff, you know, season 2 some better stuff, and by the time you're making your way to the end of season 2, you are just really fucking in it, and then you are just banging in season 3. Just absolutely having a blast.
There are definitely, there's like a number of episodes that are considered, I think, by a lot of fans of the show to be the best episodes of the show in season 3.
All right. Well, LaToya, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, of course.
Did we join you? Are we in your lair or did you come?
We're in LaToya's lair.
This is a merger is what's happening, actually.
Oh, yeah. Who acquired who? I feel acquired. I think we've been acquired by LLC.
We're going to Succession
LLC.
Right now.
Oh my God, LLC. Nice. okay, well, what is the status, Jenny, of this X-File?
The status of this X-File is just... 3 gal pals gal palling around making a podcast. Has an X-File ever done that before?
Probably not. I just pictured like a manila folder talking into a microphone, you know? All right. Well, listen, happy holidays, and we'll see you in the new year at some point, probably February, with season 2. Of the EX.
Oh, yes, it will be.
Jenny and I promise to remain ex-wives into 2024.
I can't
LaToya
promise
makes
the same.
No promises. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics, and sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues, and it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.